We come in the name of Jesus to give you praise and honor and glory. And Father God, just to say thank you. We love you. We appreciate you. We thank you for all your goodness, Lord, all your grace, all your love, all your mercy that you have shown towards us, Lord. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just yield tonight, Lord. We yield to the precious Holy Spirit who will reveal, who will unfold, who will show us things, Father, concerning mysteries of faith and prayer, things that we need to know, Lord God. We give you praise and honor and glory for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. I am always amazed and in awe when I come and I prepared to teach the class, and then Apostle comes in his class, and he starts to explain things that I'm planning to talk a little bit about. But I mean, he does it in such detail, in such anointing, because when he said tonight, Jesus did not, when he did, he gave us an example of some things that Jesus did. And he said that wasn't in the witch faith. Who remembers? Romans 10, 7, thank you. Romans 10, 17, he said that wasn't Romans 10, 17 faith. He says that was special faith. You know, and it's like, oh my God, and here we are talking about prayer and faith. Well, we want to get it straight. Let's go. Faith, fasting, and prayer. This is what we've been talking about, you know, this semester. And it's like, man, Jesus was operating in special faith at that particular time, okay? We can operate in special faith too. Amen? You know, and it's always remember that it's as the Spirit wills when it comes to special faith. As second-year students, I'm pretty sure y'all have been, taught about the manifestations of the spiritual gifts, the 9 spiritual gifts, right? Yeah, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. First-year students, if you haven't heard it, we're going to get to it. But just remember that when he talked about special faith, he's talking about one of the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We may get an opportunity to just touch on them if you haven't been introduced yet. We're still on book 2, chapters 2. And remember, the title is Prayer That Gets Results. Now, I found the place where I stopped last week, and it's like, okay, do I want to go from there? Because I can remember just saying, remember we were talking about sometimes we pray, but it's a restless, disquieted, uneasy, complaining prayer. Yeah, that's not really praying, right? That's not true praying. And that's not what we want to do. What we want to do is we want to pray with boldness. We want to pray with confidence. And then we want to pray having that peace of God that passeth all understanding. Our author, he said, our eyes should be taken off ourselves when we pray. Remember that. They should be removed from our own weakness and allowed to rest totally on God's strength. Amen. Mm-hmm. Remember, I told you that, you know, God was our whole objective. You know, everything, we're looking to him. And we're expecting him to do for us what it is that we're asking. Amen? That's that confidence that we have in him. In Hebrews 10:35, this was the last class, it says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. And he's saying, Mr. Bounds is saying that when we're talking about, not casting away our confidence in this faith that we have towards God, it's a simple confiding faith We do this every day, day by day. And that will help to drive out all of the fear. And he says, this is a faith that casts its burden on the Lord each hour of the day and will drive away misgivings and deliver from doubt. And remember, we said fear and doubt are enemies of our faith. Y'all remember that? And I think on the test, y'all remember the, I said they were our friends. Fear and doubt were our friends. Come on. Come on, come on. No, no. That was easy. That was a giveaway. That was a giveaway. I want you to turn right now to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And I think our author looks at just verse 6, but I'm going to look at verse 6 and 7. And I'm not going to really go in order tonight. I'm going to skip ahead a little bit because there's something I want y'all to see tonight. So Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Ready? Let's read. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen? So, you know, I think it's over in the Amplified. It talks about don't be anxious. You know, don't be disquieted. Don't be restless. Don't be uneasy. Don't be complaining when you pray. And the only way that you're going to be able to do this is to have that peace of God, to have that assurance, to have that rest. Apostle has told us, you know, for years about when you're in a battle, when you're under attack, the first thing that you want to do is get yourself some peace. You know, now we know all about the courts of heaven. You know, now we know to go to the courts of heaven. But when you go to the courts of heaven, that's when you're going to get your peace. Amen. It is so important to go into your battle, having that confidence and having that peace in God. Because from my own experience, I'll share with you what happened. An apostle touched on this tonight. Wisdom comes. Amen. Wisdom cannot come if you're restless, disquieted, uneasy, and complaining. Okay? The other thing that comes is boldness. There's a wisdom, there's a boldness that comes when you stop and take a moment and ask God to give you peace. Amen. And for me, it just happened. You know, this lady and I were just talking. We were just standing there just talking. I was in a battle. And she says, well, Joe, if you have a peace about it. And it's like the light came on. I realized I did not have peace. So rather than go home and pray about the situation, I went home and I got these verses. And I said, Lord, I need your peace. I said, I need peace that passes all understanding. And I went to sleep, just like that. And I woke up, and it was amazing, y'all. When my eyes opened, these words came out. What a difference a day makes. I knew it. I could feel it. It was just an assurance. It was a peace. But I was to be reckoned with after that. You talking about bold. Oh, my God, I was so bold. You know, I was dealing with a doctor. Ended up firing a doctor. That's just how bold I was. You know, I said, oh, no. This is what I want. This is what I'm going to do. I'm not going to do that. And then I said, I'm not going back to you. You know, and I went on. But we have to stop and we have to know that the peace of God is with us when we begin to pray. Amen? Amen. Now, one of the things that Mr. Bounds talks about, he's talking about we're living a life of faith. You got to understand, the Christian life, our life is a life of faith, and it's a life of prayer, believe it or not. That's what our life is all about. Believing God, amen, petitioning God, praising God, worshiping God, that's our life, amen. And so we want to learn that this is important, and we want to learn what it is that we need to do. In the first place, we are saved by faith, amen. Come on, turn to Ephesians chapter 2. These are verses you need to tuck under your belt. This is how important faith is. Okay? Yeah. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. And I want you to tuck it under your belt. And Mr. Bound talked about it. He talks about it in this chapter. Let's read it. Ready? For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Amen? Amen? So you see here, we are saved by faith. We got to believe. We got to, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. And then I'll get to what Mr. Bounds was saying. So we saved by faith. By grace, through faith. Remember that. By grace, it's a gift. Nothing we could do. It's nothing we could do to earn it. Right. Amen? It was just there. But we had to use faith to receive it. Amen? Amen? By grace, through faith. Then over in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. This is how important our faith is. Ready? But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen? A reward. You got to believe that he is. If you don't believe that God is, I mean, who are you talking to? Who are you going to ask? What you going to ask for? What kind of confidence you going to have that he's going to do what it is that you need? Amen? So this is how important our faith is. You know, if we don't have faith, it's impossible to please God. So we want to have faith, right? And then remember last class I told you that first of all, we found out that we were saved by faith, right? Okay, so we have faith. The Bible teaches us that God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Romans 12, 3, remember that, okay? We have it, it's there. And that faith has to be developed. It has to be, Mr. Bounds used the word cultivated. And he says that you cultivate your faith, he says by reading the word, but I'm going to say by studying the word. And then remember what Apostle was saying tonight, the importance of meditating the word. You know, it's not just a casual reading, because that's what a lot of people have done. You know, we just read and we think we have done something. You know what I'm saying? I read 7 chapters today. But what did those, you know, Apostle is good for that. What did those 7 chapters say to you? You know, and then you say, you know, no. I mean, you can read 7 words out of 1 verse and have that speak volumes to your life, and read the 7 chapters, and you didn't get nothing. Amen. And then remember what he said about the logos, the written or the spoken word, and the rhema. Amen. The live word. You wanna meditate that word until it comes alive. Amen. And then you're ready to pray. So all of this goes before you even start to pray. You see, your peace, you want your peace before you even start to pray. Mm-hmm. Why? Because how you going to pray in faith, right? If you don't have that? You see what I'm saying? So before we pray, we got to have faith. While we pray, we got to pray in faith. Remember Mark 11, 24? Yeah. When you pray, believe that you receive. Remember that? And then after you pray, you got to have faith. Because, you know, if you remember, Apostle is always telling us, keep the switch of faith turned on. You got to stay in faith. During that waiting period, but until the manifestation comes, you have to still be in faith. So we have faith before we pray. We got faith while we're praying. And then faith after we're praying, before the manifestation shows up. Amen? You know, that's the time where we're thanking God. And we're still believing that what we have prayed for, we have received. And it's been so good because Apostle has been explaining it's on the inside. You know, remember how I told you? We already know the outcome. We have it now. It's already done. It is finished. Remember those words? But it's all in the Spirit. It's all in the Spirit. And so all we're doing after we have prayed is just telling God, thanking God, I believe I received that. You know, and then, whoops, there's the manifestation. And we don't even know how, when, where. And it's not our concern, because we've learned that the who, what, when, why, and where, these are hindrances to our faith, and they are weights. Okay, amen? They are weights, and that's what we focus on. You know, Mr. Bounds even talked about that. Let me see where I had it in my notes. He's going to use some different words. I got the beginning, the middle, and the end here. We got to stay in faith. And we looked at Hebrews 11 and 6, right? Okay, I can't diligently seek him. Oh, okay, here, I said focus, well, it's way at the end of the chapter, but okay, this is what Mr. Brown wrote, and I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to read it, and we'll talk a little bit about it. He said, the spirit of a pilgrim makes praying easier. An earthbound, earth-satisfied spirit cannot pray. Y'all understand that? Earthbound, earth-satisfied. This is a person who just focused on the natural. You know, focus on senses, what they can see, what they could feel, touch, hear. That's all he's talking about here. So a person who's just concerned about, you know, what their senses can see, he says they cannot pray. The flame of spiritual desire in such a heart has either gone out or is smoldering in a faint glow. The wings of its faith are clipped. Its eyes are filmed, meaning covered over, and its tongue is silence. But he went on and he quoted Isaiah 40:31, but they who in immovable faith and unceasing prayer wait continually upon the Lord do renew their strength, do mount up with wings as eagles, do run and are not weary, do walk and not faint. So you see the importance of building up and increasing our faith and developing our faith, because it's our faith that's going to hold us until the manifestation arrives. If you don't have that faith, this is what causes us to lose heart, to faint, and to give up. And then we say, this faith stuff don't work. You didn't work it. Amen? It's not that it doesn't work. It's just that we did not work it. Amen? All right. So we got the beginning. We start off in faith. The middle, we pray in faith. And then at the end, we keep the switch of faith turned on until the manifestation arrives. All right? Okay. Let me go back. All right. We started off with the Philippians 4, 6, and 7, told you the importance of being at peace and being in peace. Mr. Bounds says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. He says, this is a divine cure for all fear, anxiety, and excessive concern for the soul. In Hebrews 3 and 12, it says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Look at that. Evil heart. Unbelief is evil in departing from the living God. We need to guard against unbelief as we would against any enemy. Unbelief. We got to start seeing unbelief and doubt as enemies. And they are enemies of our faith. But we have to see it as if it's our enemy. Because we don't want to be in unbelief and we don't want to be in doubt. Faith, as I said earlier, it needs to be cultivated. Luke 17:5, the apostle said, Lord, increase our faith. And you know, Jesus goes on, he says, if you have faith as a mustard seed, remember that? Mr. Bounds says, faith is capable of increasing. Paul's tribute to the Thessalonians was that their faith grew exceedingly. So your faith can grow. Amen. Amen? Amen? Faith is increased by exercise. Not push-ups, not sit-ups, not walking. That's not how you increase your faith. Amen? He says, by being put to use. And then he says, it is nourished by painful trials. Now, none of us like the painful trial part. I don't like that. I don't like that at all. I like to think that I have faith without it. But, you know, the truth is, if you never go through anything, how do you know how much faith you have? Amen? Amen. Your faith is refined. I like to think of it as becoming refined when you go through things. Amen? In 1 Peter 1 and 7, Paul says that the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. Amen? Fire, water, floods, try our faith. Amen? He says, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Amen? So our faith can grow, and it grows by us using it. Remember last week I told you about starting off with small things? Start exercising your faith. Because every time you believe God for something small, then your faith increases. And it gives you confidence that if he did this, then he'll do something else. And then the next bigger thing comes, then you're ready for it. You see, so that when something really big come along, you're really ready. You know how to do it. You know how to go to God. You know how to ask for the peace of God that passes all understanding, not to be anxious. You see, because that's what gets a lot of us a lot of times. We are so anxious. And I don't know if anybody's like me, but man, my emotions, they just go wild. And your head gets fuzzy and you can't think straight. Just emotion, 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 you know? They just take over. And remember, that's the voice. The voice of our body, the voice of your feeling, you know, and it's like it feels so bad, it don't feel good. And if you don't settle yourself and ask God to give you peace, you will never get an answer. You gotta have the peace of God. Ask him for it. Ask him to, you know, Lord, give me that peace that passes. And Jesus said, not as the world give it to you. He said he gave us his peace. You know, the peace that even when the wind blowing and the water falling and the fire burning, you know, you're still standing strong. And you're asking, what you say, Lord? Which way to go, Lord? What you want me to do, Lord? It's going to be all right. Just the confidence. You know, God is still in control. You know, he got this. He gonna help me through this. He gonna show me this. I can hear. Hallelujah. I can hear the voice of God. He gonna tell me what to do, and then I'm gonna have faith to do it. Amen. Amen. Faith grows, Mr. Brown says, by reading, and I put the word studying, and meditating upon the word of God. Most of all, faith thrives in an atmosphere of prayer. Amen. I got 4 minutes. I got 4 minutes. Oh. Then Mr. Brown says, okay, I'm gonna give you these questions, and I just want you to think about them. They're not to be answered, but it's just to get us to think. He says, questions it would be good if we would stop and ask ourselves. He says, do I have faith in God? Amen. Do I really have faith in God? And then, do I have real faith? You know, is it head faith? Is it heart faith? Is it special faith? Is it little faith? Is it exceeding growing faith? You know, what kind of faith you got? Amen. Just think about it. He says, the real faith, this is the faith that keeps me in perfect peace about the things of the earth and heaven. Another question, do I really pray to God so that he hears me and answers my prayers? And then the next one was, do I truly pray to God so that I get directly from God the things I ask of him? Amen. You know, these are just questions that you can just ask yourself. Mr. Biles, he's pretty good. He's pretty good about these kinds of things. You know, he provokes you to think. You know, he'll say things that, you know, well, I kind of sort of knew, but you had never really thought about at that level. Like I told y'all in the beginning, he takes us deeper. Prayer was very, very precious to him. I can tell. You know, because he goes real, real deep into prayer. The other thing is he focuses a whole lot on the fivefold ministry gifts. He says, the pastor who succeeds in changing his people from a prayerless to a prayerful people has done a greater work than Caesar Augustus. You know, Caesar Augustus, they said about him that he changed the city from wood to marble. So a pastor who has changed his people from prayerless to prayerful people, amen? You know, they're greater than Caesar Augustus. Amen? Amen. Amen. And we'll look a little bit more about that, because he says some other things. Like I said, he's really, really focused on the fivefold ministry. But just remember the importance of faith, that we are saved by grace through faith. Amen? Amen. That we start off in faith when we're believing God for anything. You know, before we even pray, find the words. Find scriptures, meditate the scriptures until you receive that rhema that apostle was talking about. And once you receive that, then you're ready to pray. Yeah. But when you pray, pray in faith, pray believing. Mm. And then after you pray, then you want to thank God. You want to stay in faith. You're going to tell God you believe you receive until the manifestation arrives. Amen. Amen. Got that? Y'all sure you got it? All right, we're going to see. Y'all be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed.